Junks are presented by Crop Metcalf, the official heating and cooling company of the Junkies. If you're looking to be the next five-star HVAC technician or plumber, just go to CropMetcalf.com. You can join their team today. Let's do the Junkies Blitz. Go around the NFL. It's brought to you by our friends at Offenbachers.
Junkies Blitz.
All right, it's a Thursday. I have my flaming hot take, but before we get to the flaming hot take of the week, give you a couple nuggets. We spent some time talking about Bryce Young. He's been benched by Dave Canales, the head coach of the Carolina Panthers.
Mm-hmm.
According to ESPN's Jeremy Fowler, Young not too happy with the decision.
Mm.
He apparently was, quote, not only shocked by the decision, but also upset. He's pissed, according to a source.
Well, how could he be? How could he actually be shocked by the decision?
I agree with you there.
Like, just go look at your box scores. Like, there's nothing shocking here. You're playing poorly. Your team has lost faith in you to lead them to any sort of semblance of a functional offense.
According to Albert Breer of Sports Illustrated, members of the Los Angeles Chargers staff saw a quarterback who stopped looking downfield, struggled to see the field from the pocket, and kept dropping his eyes and looking at the rush. He's tentative. His receivers are frustrated. He's been benched. And according to ESPN stats, his QBR was a 9.1.
I mean, he has a 50
is the average.
He has a quarterback rating of 44. He was averaging 122 passing yards per game. No touchdowns. 3 picks. Was sacked 6 times in 2 games. I mean, if you're Dave Canales, like, you can't just keep getting boat raced every week. Like, you have to be competitive at some point. And he feels Andy Dalton gives him a better chance of being competitive than Bryce Young does.
Yeah, maybe he's getting pressure from above. Who knows? But I don't know how Bryce Young can be surprised. I mean, it's not just 2 games. It was all of last year, too.
Right.
Now, maybe, you know, they didn't do enough as a support staff to give him the players he needed last year, and maybe not even this year. You can't be surprised, though. And here's the other thing. If you're losing the rest of the team because of the decision to send Bryce Young out there, you know, if some of these veterans are coming to coaches and saying, bro, we can't win with this guy.
Right.
He can't beat anybody. Then I think you have to make a decision for the sake of the rest of the team.
Like, if your passing numbers are as bad as his, he better have some rushing in his bag of tricks. And he doesn't even have that.
No, he doesn't.
He hasn't even rushed for 20 yards in 2 games.
Right.
Like, he can't even rely on that part of his game to help elevate him.
Right.
So, I mean, I just...
I'm just looking at some of the veterans on the team. Let's just say, you know, Shaq Thompson or Jadeveon Clowney or Adam Thielen came to the coaches privately and said, you got to make a change.
Right.
You're losing us.
I'm sure that happened.
I'm sure it has.
I would assume that happened probably from multiple players.
Now, Bryce Young is just sticking up for himself because he's professional and he feels like he can get better. But they're not. So I think you got to make a change. Doesn't mean he can't, you know, come back and play some down. You know, maybe he's going to be back in week 5, week 6, week 7.
Well,
but right now, you have to make the change.
They're on a bullet train to the number one pick in next year's draft where they have to pick a quarterback. Like, that's the crossroads that this franchise is at again.
Correct.
Sticking with quarterbacks, just 12 days after suffering a left knee injury in the season opener, Jordan Love, quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, returned to the practice field and left open the possibility of playing Sunday at the Titans. He's only missed one game. They won that game without him when Malik Willis started at quarterback. That is a fast return if he comes back on Sunday from a sprained MCL.
It is, and on the other side, Will Levis is this close to being the next quarterback being benched. Because if he has another just high-profile gaffe or two in this game...
Who is it, Mason Rudolph?
Mason Rudolph's his backup. Callahan, he's already at his... he seems like he's at his boiling point with Will Levis. He's openly criticizing him in his pressers.
So this could be, I'm going to guess Malik Willis starts again.
Probably.
Just because Love was, he did practice, but he was limited. So I don't think they'll throw him out there and force it another week. They could beat the Titans, even with Malik Willis. But so I'm going to guess it's Willis against Levis. What a terrible matchup that is.
Yeah, it's not great.
And look, both teams have new head coaches. who inherited these quarterbacks. They can move on and say, that wasn't my guy.
Right.
Callahan could say, Levis wasn't my guy. I didn't draft him.
Same with Canales.
Exactly.
Well, no. Carolina's, they're already, like, they have to pick a quarterback. Yeah. There's not going to be any, well, we can make Bryce Young better this offseason. Canales had the chance to do that this past offseason. And it blew up in their face.
It's like that throughout the Baldy.
Same thing with Callahan. Right. What I'm saying is they didn't draft those guys.
Oh, yeah. The Titans will be ready to move on, too. But they're not going to be picking as high, I don't think, as the Panthers. Well,
they might be top five.
Maybe it'll be a two-horse race as to who gets the number one pick.
I mean, Carson Beck might be the number one guy or Quinn Ewers or one of those guys. But lost my train of thought. Sorry.
It's all good.
I know, but it needs to come back.
you need to get back on the tracks.
It needs to. Oh, like I said, the Baldy. Bryce Young could be the next Zach Wilson. Wilson was the number two pick. He wasn't the number one overall. He was number two, but he has now been relegated as a backup quarterback. So Bryce Young could be a backup.
In my opinion, and I know it's very early, his ceiling career backup, Bryce Young, massively overdrafted. Teams make mistakes at the top of the draft all the time.
Yep, it happens.
Zach Wilson is a backup to Bo Pix.
To Bo Pix.
Yes.
He may be a backup to Jarrett Stidham if Bo Pix throws two or three picks this weekend in Tampa.
All right, what else you got?
Let's see how that plays out.
This one for Cakes.
Yeah.
He's usually, and he got Will Dawkins on his side about being, you know, safe with off-field activities.
Of course. We're just smart. We're just smart, analytically driven people. That's all we are.
Jim Harbaugh has a way of protecting Justin Herbert from injuries. Have you read about this?
I have not. What does he do to keep Justin Herbert safe in a bubble?
He has told Justin Herbert, no more high fives coming off the field.
Oh, really? You know what? I like that. I like that about Harbaugh. He wants to keep his guys safe. Keep them on the field.
Have you ever heard of anybody getting hurt on a high five?
I haven't, but is it that hard for Justin Herbert, even with a damaged hand, to hand the ball off to J.K. Dobbins?
He wants to protect his hands.
That's basically what he's doing.
Well, he is dealing with an ankle injury.
Mm-hmm.
So,
okay, that's an ankle injury.
No, I understand. I know, but you can jump up and turn your ankle.
Sure, definitely can do that. You know what?
Jump up and high five a guy and turn your ankle when you land.
Should be less concerned with Herbert high fiving dudes. Have you seen his pregame ritual with Herbert? Right,
where he smacks him a couple times.
Yeah, it's like Herbert.
It's physical.
Yeah, he's like smacking him on his shoulder pads. He's getting him on the helmet, the whole nine. Like,
you gotta hype him up.
You might want to like dial that back too, if he's banning high fives.
Now, Herbert, when he hurt his ankle, but he finished the game. But he has been iffy in practice all week.
Right.
So there's a chance that you might see Easton Stick. There's a chance.
Oh, well, that means there's a good chance the Steelers win the game if you see Easton Stick.
I agree.
Cakes is mostly concerned with fantasy stats, so maybe you don't know about the defensive tear that somebody's on. Can you name the player who's on a defensive tear, like a record-breaking defensive tear?
Ooh.
Mm.
Can you give me the position?
Defensive end.
Is it TJ Watt?
Aiden Hutchinson.
Ah, okay, good.
He's picking up where he left off last season. On Sunday, he could set a new NFL record for the most sacks over any five-game stretch since sacks became an official stat in 1982.
Could the Jags have bungled it any worse in the draft where they selected, is it Trayvon Walker?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Out of Georgia. Over Aiden Hutchinson.
Hutchinson has
was idiotic.
5.5 sacks through two games this season, and he had 5 sacks in the last two games of the 2023 regular season. So that gives him 10.5 sacks in 4 games.
Wow. That's big.
Apparently he's 2.5 sacks on Sunday from getting to 13, which would be the new record for a 5-game stretch.
That's impressive.
If you get 13 sacks in 5 games, when's the last time Washington had a guy in an entire season get 13?
13?
I feel like Kerrigan and Arakpo tickled 11 or 12 a few times.
I want to say 12.
Yeah, I don't think Arakpo ever got to
13. I know Chase Young never got there.
Chase Young?
No.
He doesn't have 13 sacks in his career.
Right.
I think he got a half sack on Sunday.
He did?
Pretty sure.
Oh, good for him.
So what's that give him?
A half?
No, I'm saying for his career. He's probably
for his career,
12.
Yeah, man. Come on, man.
And Chase gave you like 2.5 in San Francisco last year, right?
It's about that, yeah.
Chase
Young, I know
Young,
he had a really good game in that Jacksonville game.
In his career, has 17 sacks.
Oh, so he
wow,
is
he's got 17.
Okay. I stand corrected.
Because he had 5 in Washington last year, plus 2.5. So he had 7.5 last
so
year.
So we slept on the 5.
We did sleep
that's
on what that.
We
it was a quiet 5.
Yeah, it's quietest 5 sacks ever.
All right, time now for your flaming hot take of the week.
What was your flaming hot take last week? I can't remember.
Josh Allen's better than Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, okay, yes. We did argue about that, yes.
And you went to quarterback wins on that, even though in any other case, you never go to quarterback wins.
The most important quarterback wins. It's called a Super Bowl.
All right.
It's pretty important.
Is his fault that Tyler Bass missed a field goal last year? Is his fault he throws? Is it his fault that he loses a coin toss?
You know what? I hear a lot of apologizing for Josh Allen on that side of the table. Hey.
I'll stand up for Josh Allen. He's a good player.
I wish JP would ride for as many quarterbacks as he does Josh Allen.
Well, here's somebody that I'm not going to ride for. The Hall of Fame in the NFL, I believe, should have standards. Everything in life should have standards.
Certainly. We live in a society, JP. Come on.
Who's headlining the nominees for this year's Hall of Fame class? Eli Manning.
Ooh.
I'm sorry. 2 Super Bowls. 2 Super Bowl MVPs, 4 Pro Bowls. It's not good enough. 15-year starter, Eli Manning is not a Hall of Famer.
I don't know if that's a hot
his
take.
Quarterback rating is an 84.1 in his career.
Ooh.
84.1.
It's not great.
So I went and looked at guys who had a long career. If you put Eli Manning into the Hall of Fame, and most people think he's getting in, are you going to put Carson Palmer in the Hall of Fame?
Definitely not.
Carson Palmer had a higher quarterback rating. Carson Palmer made 3 Pro Bowls. Are you going to put Donovan McNabb into the Hall of Fame?
No.
Of course not.
Maybe the Philly Hall of Fame.
Do you realize Tony Romo, and he's not going to be in the Hall of Fame, made as many Pro Bowls as Eli Manning, and his quarterback rating is 13 points higher than Eli Manning. How about this? This will give you perspective on an 84 quarterback rating.
Mm-hmm.
How bad was Carson Wentz with the Washington Commanders?
Terrible.
As bad as you can get.
His quarterback rating was an 80. It's only 4 points away from what Eli Manning averaged in his career.
Small sample size. But here's the deal, though. If you're throwing up guys who are comparable or slightly better, if those guys had 2 Super Bowl wins, then they would be on that list.
I'm sorry. I've always
That's the
said
only reason he's on the list.
There are lower standards for some people. I hold the Hall of Fame with a high esteem.
Yeah.
You don't put Harold Baines into the Hall of Fame. That's Major League Baseball, right, in my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay? I'm not big into compilers either. I want guys who are dominant in their era.
Mm-hmm.
So during his era, obviously you had his brother. You had Tom Brady. You have Drew Brees. Those are lock 'em up Hall of Famers.
Yep.
Phillip Rivers, to me, very bubblicious.
He's Hall of very goodish.
But he's a cut above Eli Manning.
Mm-hmm.
If you put Eli Manning in there, there are no standards.
Yeah.
I know it's great. You won 2 Super Bowls. You won 2 MVPs. Jim Plunkett won 2 Super Bowls. Won 1 MVP. In my opinion, Eli Manning, not a Hall of Famer. That is our Scotty's Vodka poll of the day. You can vote at Junks Radio. Scotty's Vodka, Maryland Made, super smooth, love throughout the DMV. Is Eli Manning a Hall of Famer? He's probably going to get a gold jacket, Cakes.
Yep, it's looking that way. Coming up next, we will do the entertainment page, and we'll give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to Caps 50 Fest, where you can go see Third Eye Blind. So keep listening for your chance to win. We'll do that next on The Fan.
You know, I bought 2 vehicles in the last 6 months from Oarsman. I love them. One of the great things about Oarsman is everybody loves selection and everybody loves saving money and everyone loves more money for their trade. And that's what you get at Oarsman Cars, OarsmanCars.com. Look, they have dealerships all over the DMV. I bought my Kia Telluride at Oarsman Kia of Fairfax. Love it. It's fantastic. And right now, at Oarsman Kia of Fairfax, they have over 200 new Kias to choose from, including a silly selection starting under $19,000. Oarsman Cars is a big deal in Bowie, where we're from. They've got seven brands to choose from: Chevy, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, Genesis, and Hyundai. You can find low lease payments, silly savings, oarsmancars.com. That's where you need to start your search. And look, every new vehicle from Oarsman Cars comes with the Oarsman Promise. That's a lifetime engine guarantee and lifetime exterior detail. It's fantastic. Take it from me. Stop by and see why everyone loves Oarsman Cars. You can browse their entire inventory now at oarsmancars.com.
All right, coming up after the EP is done, we will give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to Caps 50 Fest. That's October 10th. At Capital One Arena. Third Eye Blind will be playing that event right before the Caps season starts. So keep listening for your chance to win those tickets, because it's coming up shortly. Time now for the EP that's driven by BMW of Fairfax. He may not be the most interesting man in the world, but EB's guy, Mike Walker, over at BMW of Fairfax, has no interest in charging you interest. 2.99% on most X Series models for a limited time only. More info at BMWOfFairfax.com. Lot of Diddy stories on the EP today. More than I would like, to be honest with you.
You're not fascinated by this?
I mean, are you not the editor of your own EP?
It's a huge story.
I mean, I am, but it is a massive story. I understand, like, there's a public appetite for it.
Like, I understand Cakes doesn't like rap music, but he's like probably one of the biggest music stars of the 90s.
He's a music mogul.
Early 2000s.
Yeah.
Not just a performer, yeah, just, a producer.
I think what it comes from
a businessman.
I'm not into him and his music.
Right.
So
I know, but like if this was Garth Brooks, it would still be like the biggest story. Yeah, and you hate country.
Yeah, that's true. Hate country is a strong word. Not really that into country is probably the way I would frame it. Diddy vows he won't have women at his house as he begs the judge to release him to home detention amid the sex crime charges. He vowed he won't have women visit his Florida mansion Wednesday as his defense attorneys begged the judge to release him to home detention until he faces trial on sex trafficking and racketeering charges.
Then the judge said no.
Diddy was set to appear for a second day in a row in Manhattan federal court at 3:30 for a hearing where he'll request to be sprung from the notorious Metropolitan Detention Center on a $50 million bond.
And wow. And everyone's saying that jail is no joke.
What's his net worth?
I don't know. I'm going to guess Diddy's net worth is, I don't think he's a billionaire, but $500 or $600 million, I would guess. That's just a guess. I don't know.
But the judge said no to that.
Judge said no.
Yeah. Second time.
Diddy's attorneys argue that electronic monitoring and a slew of other conditions should assure the trial judge and prosecutors that Combs won't go on the lam or harm others while he awaits trial.
You can't trust him. The judge says he's a threat to, well, maybe the prosecutor said it, it's a threat to society. So he is not getting out of jail. Who knows when the trial will be set? Mm-hmm. I mean, he could be in jail for months.
So apparently he's also in the process of trying to sell his private plane, which will be kept in L.A., a fact which shows he doesn't plan to go on the run from the law, he claims.
Can't trust him.
I guess. Yeah,
they're also...
He is an evil, evil person.
They're going back and they're going through, like, they're archiving all of his lyrics now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're sifting through, like, really? Stuff that, like, he said on songs.
Okay.
And it's kind of... The signs were there.
Yeah. The writing was on the
wall.
Mm.
So I see his celebrity net worth at $600 million.
Okay. So I said $500 or $600 million, so it's right around there. You can't ever really trust celebrity net worth. There's 100 sites that have differing figures, but that sounds about right. I mean, he is a mogul. He's been popular for 30-plus years.
And I don't know how successful this Ciroc vodka is.
I mean, I think
I'm assuming
it's a pretty big brand name. Yeah. I think it's probably doing pretty well.
Do you know?
I want to guess the sales might have taken a hit of late.
Do you know what?
Might want to distance themselves from Diddy.
What the conspiracy theory is? Now this is probably old hat.
Yeah, I'd love to hear it.
But I'm kind of knee deep in the Diddy stuff because I find it fascinating.
Yeah. You're spelunking down the wormhole with EB.
Kind of, but I think he's taking different exits than I have. Mm-hmm. That. the theory is Diddy was the one that killed Biggie because it launched Diddy's career. Because after Biggie died, he basically made an album out of it.
Okay.
He had a hit song, I'll Be Missing You, from it. And the narcissism behind Diddy has people believing that he was the one that could have possibly murdered Biggie.
Right.
Are you buying into that conspiracy theory?
No.
Did you like hearing
it? Yeah, but I like hearing it.
Because I thought he's behind killing Tupac.
You'll follow
he could be.
You'll follow those breadcrumbs.
I'll follow those breadcrumbs. It's interesting hearing what people say about it.
Well,
that's all.
As a follow-up, if you're into that, you're definitely going to watch the new docuseries is coming out. It was announced on Wednesday, just 2 days after Diddy was arrested on the charges. There's a new docuseries coming out. It got the green light from the Investigation Discovery Network and is being produced by the creators of Quiet on Set, The Dark Side of Kids TV. That was a docuseries that shed light on the alleged toxic culture behind the scenes of some of the most well-known children's shows of the late 90s and the early 2000s. So now they're going to do that treatment to Diddy.
I'm all in for the docuseries. Have you seen Quiet on Set?
I haven't yet. I saw like...
Well, it's disturbing.
75% of the
first
episode, and it was so disturbing that I was just like, I don't want to keep watching it. Like,
but if they're the ones,
bad for the kids that were exposed to all of that and the way that their lives have turned out since, especially like who's the girl, Amanda Bynes?
Yeah, Amanda Bynes.
Like her life just spiraled out of control.
Yeah, she's a mess.
She's unrecognizable at this point.
I know, but now you have at least some sort of compassion for her. Right.
Yeah.
After watching it,
of course.
But also, if they're the ones that are doing this documentary, then it's going to be well done.
Oh, because it'll be intriguing.
Because the Quiet on Set one was very well done.
Yep.
And detailed.
The new series is already in production. It will explore, quote, the rise and influence of Sean Diddy Combs and the allegations of violent behavior and illegal activity that have trailed the music mogul, including accounts of sexual assault, abusive behaviors, and other disturbing claims. The doc traces the story of the self-proclaimed bad boy unraveling allegations of a pattern of, is it depravity or depravity?
Depravity.
Never want that word attached to you.
I mean, some of the things that he's accused of in this indictment are unbelievable. If it's all true, I mean, he's one of the worst people of all time.
Mm-hmm. Give me some of the things which jump out at you.
Well, just forcing, bringing in sex workers from across state lines, sometimes internationally.
Right.
And forcing them to do stuff at these freak-off parties.
Basically grooming.
And then he would video them and then said, I got you on video, so if you tell anybody, I got you on video. So they would silence them. And then the sexual assaults, obviously. I mean, he was probably having sex with young girls.
But there's probably a ton of people that were going to the parties that were celebrities who were using those sex workers, right?
Probably.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
So that's going to come out over time.
And I'm sure there were some people there because they thought Diddy was an influential music person and had no idea what was going on. But one of the people that were a part of the raid, when they uncovered like all the hidden cameras and rooms and everything, I think the quote in the New York Post was, it's worse than Epstein.
Right. He basically would say, if you tell anybody, I'll kill you. He was threatening to kill people if they went to the media or went to the cops. It's an awful, awful person. I mean, you saw what he did to Cassie in the hotel.
Oh, I mean, he should be in jail already. I mean,
can you imagine how many times?
That's the tip of the iceberg.
Right, yeah. Can you imagine how many times he did that? I guarantee he did that to many girls multiple times.
No, he probably deserves to be behind bars for the rest of his life.
Well, he probably will be.
So he's locked up in something called the SHU at the Metropolitan Detention Center. I'm not sure what that stands for. I'm browsing through the story to try to find it. But apparently, he only gets meals delivered to his cell. He gets 1 hour of daily recreation and 3 showers a week. You want to know what his first meal was behind bars, Valdez?
Definitely.
Swedish meatballs. He got Swedish meatballs served. If he wanted something a little more
glazed,
low calorie, he could have had. Now this, I would never eat this. Certainly not in jail. A black bean burger. Can you imagine eating what looks to be like in burger form, but it's just black beans instead of ground beef?
You know, the bathroom trip after that too.
I would rather. I know.
I want to limit my bathroom exposure
rather,
in jail.
I'd rather go on a hunger strike than eat a black bean burger.
I don't know how you could eat or have an appetite when you're in jail, knowing that you're probably going to be there for the rest of
hamburger.
Your life.
Hamburger.
It's got to be tough.
And by the way, SHU is special housing unit.
Okay. That makes sense. His sides were green beans, egg noodles, garden salad with dressing, and
it's a well-rounded meal.
16-ounce beverage. I would have asked for the bigger. Can you give me a 32-ouncer, 44-ouncer, yeah. maybe? Super big gulp. Can you hook me up?
Diet Coke. Don't you have Coke Zero? Yeah. That's something Cakes would have said in jail.
It's definitely something I would always ask for that. You guys don't have a freestyle Coke machine in the prison commissary? What are these accommodations?
What's the one that you can push the different types of Coke?
That's the freestyle Coke machine. I used one last night at Five Guys. I got a cherry vanilla Coke Zero. You know how good it was? Do you know how good it tasted?
Did you build your perfect burger? Remember, we just had that discussion.
No.
Was that 2 days ago or yesterday?
Yesterday.
I got a burger for my wife. She can't eat a lot of like spicy stuff, so her burgers are boring. Her burger is a little hamburger, lettuce, and pickles. That's all she gets.
I bet you scoffed. They definitely have green peppers at Five Guys.
They do. But in a trillion years, I would never order green peppers on my burger. I would order a jalapeno. I'd order a jalapeno pepper to give it a little spiciness, but not a green pepper. Just unnecessary.
Hey, Jeff Walker just gave me the thumbs up on my Diddy theory.
He did?
Yeah, so I know that's why I know I got my ear to the streets.
He's probably a noted conspiracy theorist, too. He's just down the wormhole with everybody else on Diddy.
Hey, Jeff.
Jeff Walker.
Here, go in there real quick. Yeah. So he's eating Cheez-Its.
Okay, well, you know what? Tick mark for eating Cheez-Its. Great snack.
J-Dub.
Are they standard Cheez-Its or we have extra toasty? I mean, what are we doing here?
Those were just regular Cheez-Its.
All right, that's fine. In the snack works. Room. That works.
Were you a Diddy guy back in the day?
No.
I mean, even at the height of his powers?
We liked the music because, you know, he put it out, but... This is just like the R. Kelly situation, where there's smoke, there's fire. Everybody have been saying things about Diddy since I was young.
Like,
you always heard stories. It was just a matter of time before he got caught.
So. Jeff, do you have 1,000 bottles of lube at your house like Diddy?
That is insane.
I'm going to guess you don't.
That's insane. You know how long it takes to finish one bottle of baby oil? Why do you have 1,000?
That's a great question.
Yeah, that's insane. I hope, you know, I hope he wasn't doing that, but if he was, he was coming to him.
What do you have to say about Valdez's lyrics theory? There are a bunch of Easter eggs in Diddy's lyrics over the years that point to what's going on here.
It can be true. I'm not counting nothing out.
Okay.
I'm not counting nothing out. You have security guards starting to speak out and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But we wouldn't you know. Probably say in a lot of rock music and rap music, like... Women, that's a big part of the lyrics. Like, I doubt his lyrics are that much different than anybody else talking about hot women.
I don't know. This guy will never do a deep dive on Diddy lyrics. Look, pointing right here.
Hey, I was listening to some Diddy lyrics. I was. He was talking about grooming younger women and passing them around the crew.
Okay.
Yep, that's what he was doing.
Yeah,
man. In real life.
And
he got what's coming to him, so.
Yeah, I mean.
He gone.
Society's a better place with Diddy getting served Swedish meatballs in the special housing unit, in my opinion. But I'm just one person.
Your boy's going down, J-Dub.
It's a dark day.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
you liked his music.
No, I like the artist music he put out. I mean, he gave us Biggie, you know, Faith. Like, he gave us a lot of artists that's.
Right, yeah, you liked everything he was behind. You liked
it.
I liked
except for the stuff that he was doing. He talked about some everything
except the baby oil stuff.
I like some of his music, like the album All About the Benjamins was a good album. Had good hits. Had hits.
Yeah, I mean,
he had hits.
That's an anthem, but nobody was. Oh yeah, people were, but I don't think it's not going to end well for Diddy.
No, I'm not saying that
it's not
going to
end well at all.
But He had hits.
All right, we're going to hook up caller number 10 right now at 800-636-1067. You're going to score two tickets to Caps 50 Fest. Join the Capitals for 50 Fest featuring Third Eye Blind. Celebrate the Caps 50th anniversary on Thursday, October 10th at Capital One Arena. Caps 50 Fest will have over 60 alumni in attendance, the Caps' current roster, photo ops, entertainment, and a concert by Third Eye Blind. Tickets are just $19.74. For tickets and more event info, visit thefandc.com/events. 10th caller right now wins. We'll be right back. Before the show is done, we'll give away two pair of tickets to Jeff Lynne ELO, the Over and Out Tour that's coming to Capital One Arena in late September. So keep listening for your chance to win. NFL Week 3 is upon us. First game is tonight. Of course, the Commanders play on Monday Night Football, 8:15 kick, as they travel to Cincinnati. Mm. Do you guys care to guess the matchup predictor right now on ESPN.com, the chances they're giving the Commanders to win the game, according to ESPN analytics?
I'm pretty sure they're the biggest underdog of the week. The Rams are pretty close. They're 7-point dogs to the Niners, even though that's at L.A. But I think, you know, I've seen anywhere from 7.5 to 9, 9.5. So I'm going to say matchup predictor, Washington, 22%.
JP, you have a guess?
I mean, we talked about this during the break. My initial guess was 5%.
Right. You going to stick with 5%?
I feel like I should stick with the 5%, although you told me I was dead wrong, that it was much higher in favor of the Commanders.
Valdez, would you like to throw a dart at the matchup predictor for the Commanders against the Bengals?
37.4%.
All right. Mike Maher, do you want to throw your hat in the ring?
He wasn't listening. He was working on something.
All good. Drab, you want to take a swipe at this one?
The odds the Commanders win, or the percentage?
Percentage. Matchup predictor percentage.
26.4.
The ESPN matchup predictor has the Commanders at 35.9%. Valdez comes closest, though he did bid over.
So Price is right, loser.
Price is right.
You but in this shown, instance,
you would have been
winner.
Shown the door. So
that's pretty good.
I found that number to be pretty high. They think the Commanders are going to stick around in this game.
They do.
Well, I mean, they are facing a team that is winless.
Yeah.
But based on the past, we all believe, and based on the game against Kansas City, which, you know, you could argue that they should have won, you think that they're much better than their 0-2 record. And they've started off slow and turned it around in the past.
They have. They were so bad in week one. And I'm wondering what the matchup predictor was in week one. I guarantee the Patriots were probably 5 to 7% to win that game. Guessing there, but I couldn't believe how bad the Bengals were.
Yeah.
And they were pretty close to the same odds for the week one loss to the Bengals, or excuse me, to the Patriots, than they are right now to the Commanders. But like you said, they're 0-2. All right. They did lose at home to the Patriots. Problem is, the Commanders have two offensive touchdowns.
They do, but I think you're going to see a very similar blueprint as to what they did to the Giants, because this Bengals team, they have a hard time stopping people on the ground. They're allowing almost 160 rushing yards per game. So I think they're going to get a heavy dose of B-Rob, Jaden Daniels, and Austin Eckler.
But
and
this will be the best quarterback / wide receiver combo that they've faced so far.
Well, the defense is going to have a terrible day. The question is how will the offense fare against Cincinnati's defense? I feel like they gave Patrick Mahomes some problems at times. I mean, he threw two interceptions in the game.
He did.
Maybe you can run on them, but no, they have a really good pass rusher in Hendrickson.
There's no maybe you can run on them. That's their Achilles heel.
Yeah.
And I think that Kingsbury and Dan Quinn, they're going to lean into that. Because, look, they like the formula of Jaden Daniels not turning the ball over, of winning time of possession. So I think that's just what they are at this point.
I mean, the Patriots ran for 170 on them.
Right.
Stevenson killed them.
Now, they had a good running game in week two. The Patriots are a good running team, at least so far, with Stevenson and Gibson.
Yeah, and so in week one, that's how they beat them. Brissett didn't turn the ball over, didn't throw any touchdowns, but they ran the ball. They kept the ball away from Burrow. And remember, that was the first.
Cincinnati made some terrible turnovers. Remember the tight end who fumbled like on the 1 yard line.
Then
they also had a Gesicki touchdown where the NFL after the game said, "We botched it. Should have been a touchdown."
Yeah.
Thanks, but no thanks.
That was the worst luck for our survivor.
Give us $1,000 back. Yeah. Can the NFL do that? Dig into their pockets and make us whole?
And Ja'Marr Chase was targeted 6 times in that game, 6 catches for 62 yards. But he is going to be targeted a lot more in this game against the Commanders.
Hey, don't you feel like this is the first real litmus test of the Peters-Quinn era, Josh Harris era? Because before, anytime the Commanders, Washington football team, Redskins, they played an 11-0 Steelers, or they played a Patriots team, or it was a Mahomes Chiefs team, it was like, oh my God, we're just going to lose, we're going to get smoked. But if they can hold their own against a team like this, you can kind of have hope for any other games that seem like juggernauts in the future, right? Because wouldn't we always just chalk these up as automatic losses?
Right. Yep.
Well, is anybody going to pick the Commanders in this
room? I don't know, but if they have a lead in this game at some point, or if it comes down to a final possession, wouldn't that change everyone's mentality moving forward?
I feel like having Jaden Daniels gives the fan base hope that they can compete in this sort of environment and scenario, whereas I agree. In years past, you'd be like,
"It was how much are we going to lose by?
How can Taylor Heineke or Carson Wentz lead us to victory here?" Like it seems.
So let's. I still
feel like there's a little bit of that going on, but if the team's competitive,
let's just say it comes down to the
final quarter.
I mean, Valdez, let's just say the game's tied at 20 and midway through the fourth quarter, and Burrow just marches him down for a game-winning field goal or a game-winning touchdown. I could see that. Yeah. But if they get beat 31-17.
I know, but everyone still has that weird Dan Snyder mentality of, oh, this is going to be the Patriots when they came to town and they put up 50 on the team. I still feel like there's a little bit of that going around.
There might
around.
Be some of that.
A little bit of the PTSD about how we, as in Commanders, can't hang with the big boys.
Well, there also might just be, let's take a look at the first two games. Baker Mayfield had 4 touchdown passes. Mike Evans feasted. Godwin had a pretty good game, too.
Yeah.
Then Daniel Jones, who was being ridiculed by basically the entire country, who's thrown, since his contract, more touchdowns to the other team than his own touchdown, came in and had 2 touchdown passes and looked really good with a quarterback rating over 100. So you can think about all the scar tissue of the past, but people are looking at just those 2 weeks and thinking, well, now they face Joe Burrow,
Ja'Marr Chase.
Quarterback than Baker Mayfield and Daniel Jones, and Ja'Marr Chase, arguably the best of the receivers they faced, and they're thinking, well, he's going to feast just like these other quarterbacks.
I know, but I would say we supposedly have a competent staff in place. We should be able to adjust. We should be able to come up with some sort of game plan.
But the staff can't do anything about defensive ends who can't get to the quarterback and cornerbacks who can't cover. It's a deadly combination that they have on defense. I don't know how they solve that riddle. You just blitz like crazy and roll the dice. Farrell has 2 sacks. Nobody else even has a half sack. And then their corners, everybody says they're terrible, except for maybe Benjamin St. Juice.
So, Matt, you're just kind of saying that the staff can have a game plan to keep the game close.
I say
the staff came up with a game plan against the Giants, right? And there's... It didn't work because in my opinion, Commanders got lucky to win that game.
Sure.
And we've already talked about it, why they got lucky. If Graham Gano doesn't get hurt, the Giants win that game.
Or if Neighbors catches the ball and
Neighbors
fourth
catches
down.
The ball. But so they came up with a game plan.
I disagree slightly. The game plan worked to an extent. Not defensively, but offensively, they had multiple chances to score in the red zone and just kept shooting themselves in the foot.
Yeah,
now, hopefully those things get rectified and get...
That's because that's who they are right now.
Right. But hopefully
they're make
it's
mistakes.
Fixable. Like I don't foresee them going into Cincy and being in the red zone 4 times and every time they get marched backwards because of false starts.
I don't think they're gonna march up and down the field on Cincinnati.
I think they're gonna impose their will on Cincinnati just like they did against the Giants.
Under Ron
rushing wise.
Under Ron, I wouldn't expect this team to change things or fix things. I have different expectations for the Commanders under a new regime.
Because it's better coaching.
Yes.
It's better leadership.
I think that's fair. I don't necessarily disagree with you offensively, Kings. Mm-hmm.
The defense is a huge question mark.
But I don't know how they fix that defense.
I don't either. But you got to get after Burrow. You got to move him off his spot. You can't just let him sit back there and dissect you throughout the game and find Ja'Marr Chase for 10 or 12
catches.
Here's
the other thing. All right. You also have to consider that there's another team that's getting paid.
Yep.
And another coaching staff that knows they have to win.
Mm-hmm.
Cakes. They lose. They're 0-3.
I know. It's desperation
time. And in
time
that division?
Them.
It's pretty much over, Johnny.
All right, we're going to hook up callers 10 and 11 right now at 800-636-1067. You're going to score a pair of tickets to Jeff Lynn ELO, the Over and Out Tour, Wednesday, September 25th at Capital One Arena. Tickets are on sale right now. For tickets and more event info, you can go to thefandc.com/events. So caller number 10 at 800-636-1067. You will score those tickets. We are done for the day. We'll see you tomorrow. B. Mitch and Finley, they're coming up next here on The Fan.